Welcome to the Work-Life Brilliance Podcast with executive coach and best-selling author, Denise Renee Green. Denise fills each episode with humor, compassion, knowledge, and pragmatism to help you transform your life. Listen in and learn how you can tame your brain, lower your stress, and become the person you were born to be.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Work-Life Brilliance Podcast. I am your host, Denise Green, and I'm really, really grateful that you're here. This one is all about persistence. So I looked up persistence in the dictionary, and words came up like tenacious, determined, purposeful. These traits help us to persevere, and perseverance is to continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty. If it weren't for difficulties, we would have no need for persistence and perseverance. But difficulties are a part of life. So this episode is all about using persistence to achieve goals that help you reach a vision. Now, it will come as no surprise to you if you've listened to my prior podcasts that the key to building the habit of persistence is to manage your thinking. And just a reminder, your brain hates pain, not just physical pain, but discomfort of any kind. Pain is anything that is difficult. And normally, our normal brain response when things get difficult is our brain has a thought that says something like, this is too hard. I'm going to take a break and maybe I'll come back to it. Or maybe our brain just says, you know what? This isn't worth it. I'm just going to give up. It wasn't that big of a deal anyway. We make excuses. Things like, I'm just too busy. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I couldn't do it because blank. Fill it in with whatever you would normally say. The dog ate your homework. This is too hard. And the result is, well, one, we don't achieve the goal, so we can't create the vision. And we feel regret or shame, or we have to push down the feelings so deeply so that we don't feel those things. And I just want to clarify about some words I've been using, vision and goal. For me, a vision is the image of a desired future. And that includes, what's our emotional state? Who's with us? What are we doing? Where are we? What is our life like? And then goals are measurable milestones that help make that vision a reality. And the only way to persist is to have a vision that is worth persisting for. And if we want to create that vision, we have to shift our thinking. We have to steer our thoughts from thoughts like, this is too hard, to, I've hit an obstacle. That was expected. Obstacles happen. And then we ask ourselves better questions like, okay, so what should I do now? Who can help me? Instead of terrible questions like, why am I such a failure? Who do I think I am? Or, you know what? I'm just not good enough. Why did I even think I could do this? Those thoughts will not create persistence. They will create quitting. When you have your thoughts aligned, then you solve problems and you keep moving toward your vision. And I decided there was really no better way for me to describe this process than to tell you about the year 2018 for me. So in late 2017, I created a goal for 2018 that I would create and complete the Work-Life Brilliance Academy. And specifically, I would do this by October 31st, 2 days before my birthday. I would need video content, workbooks, a website, participants, and How hard can that be? Right? That's not that many ingredients. And I actually wanted to launch this in late May, no later than June. So the year got off to a great start. And then in late January, I caught a horrible virus from a couple of house guests. And it made everybody very sick. But because of my particular immune system, I was sick for over 6 weeks. And one of the symptoms was this chronic fatigue. Like I could barely breathe. It felt like I was walking through quicksand. And my goal with the Academy was to create all of the video content in February. And I'm not feeling so good. And I only have 2 weekends where I can do this content. At least in my mind, I felt like 2 weekends that I didn't have my daughter, where she was at her dad's, was going to be my best time to create this content. So even though I'm sick, I write the outlines and I decide to produce the video at home, which was something that I had never done before. I've always paid thousands of dollars for fancy videos and gone to a studio and had scripts. And guess what? That takes a lot of time and planning and organization. And this time I realized that was overkill, it was unnecessary, and I just needed the content done. So I didn't listen to the voice that could have said, well, you don't know how to make your own videos. You're not a videographer. I did not use that excuse. I did not ask myself, why am I doing this? I didn't tell myself, you can't do this alone. I said, okay, so if you're going to do it this way, how are you going to do it? And then I looked at my computer. I said, I have a Mac. There's got to be an app already on here. And there was. And I didn't even look at other products. I tested this one out. It was easy. It did the trick. Boom. So I've got the outlines. I've got the videos. I don't feel good, but I would get up. I would take a shower, put on nice clothes, do my hair, put on makeup. And that alone made me feel more human. And then I would shoot the videos and then I would crumble into a chair. So I also hired a web designer that was highly recommended, and I failed to notice my emotions as I was interviewing him. And I was listening too much to my need for urgency than my intuition. I don't ask him for examples of his materials. I fail to see a red flag in that he says yes to everything, including doing my workbooks. And he wants to do it all custom from scratch instead of using ready-to-go apps, paid services, and free templates. Because if he does everything from scratch, he owns it, and he can charge me more money. But I just wanted to get this done, so I hired him. And despite sending him lots of examples of work I like, he comes back with a workbook that I would say is D-minus work. And this was in March. We're getting really close to May. I sent him so many notes, and the next iteration is still a D-minus. This is clearly not in his team's strength zone. So instead of giving up, or instead of settling for D-minus work, I ask myself, who can help me and do it quickly? And of course, my brain found Susana, my brilliant, brilliant designer in Spain who did the interior of Work-Life Brilliance, the best-selling book. So I know I can trust her. She puts it on the calendar, she turns it around, and it is A-plus work. It is beautiful, high, high-value product. And later on, people would tell me that the workbooks alone were life-changing for them. So, wow. April comes around, and I'm finally feeling better. I am over my virus, and I'm able to take this final concoction. I was going to call it a drug, but medicine, it's not. It's a homeopathic remedy for Lyme disease. I'm finally able to take it, and, you know, it looks innocuous. It's just a little vial of clear liquid. Well, apparently it's about 100 times the strength that my body can handle, and I have the most violent reaction I've ever had to any kind of medicine. And I am doubled over for about 8 weeks. I am in severe pain. My internal organs are working at about 5%. And it takes 2 healers and many, many sessions to get everything back on. It was one of the most painful things I've ever had to do, but I had to keep working. So I didn't let it stop me, and wasn't fun, but the designer's working on the content, I'm working on the material, Suzanne is working on the workbooks, and we keep humming along. And then it May happens, and my designer goes AWOL. I have heard nothing. There's no more progress, no response to my emails, and I feel like my site is being held hostage completely outside my control. In June, I realize I need somebody new. So rather than give up, rather than go to my network again, I go to Upwork, which I know has great people who have been reviewed, and I can read the reviews about them. And then in late June, the designer, original designer, surfaces. But he still does no work for 2 more weeks. So I tell him, we're done, and I need you to share everything with my new designer. And instead, he sends me a bill for the materials that I didn't have him create. And then he sends me a bill for a piece of work he didn't do and that I didn't agree to. I consider giving up. I consider hiring an attorney. But instead, I keep trying to influence and negotiate with him. We come to an agreement. My new designer gets all the files, and he starts making really great progress. But then I mess up with the new designer, and I don't give him milestone dates. And I realized that for my brain hates making detailed plans. And it hates even more communicating those plans to others. I assumed we've got all the content. How hard can this be? We've got a website that's about 70% there. Can't be that hard. Well, it is much slower going than I expected. And even though we don't have a website, it's August, people. So I began recruiting participants. And the old me would have thought, we can't have an academy without a website. And the new me thought, we can do this even without a website. And if I have to, I can share all the material via email. And we still have the live video coaching calls that we don't need a site for. I hire an ops assistant. She is brilliant. She's awesome. And I just go ahead and create the calendar and I send it out to the participants. These are the dates that we are going to have this program. I select participants and I'm very picky about who I select. We have a small group and we welcome them even though we have no website. The website is finally almost done, 99% done, when it's infected by malware. I have been an entrepreneur for 10 years and I have never had a site infected by malware. And then a few days before we launch, not only were my two main sites, the Brilliance Academy and the Brilliance Inc. site, infected, but 40,000 files were affected. I have now two priorities. Meet the launch date and do it without a site or with a site, but only if that site is 100% clean and safe. 3 days later, the site is up. I notify people they can go online, finish their registration, preview the content, and then guess what? 24 hours later, the site is hit again with malware. And it's down for another 3 days. You know what? I don't freak out. Because I know my designer's freaking out. He is on it. He is staying up all night. He literally pulled at least one all-nighter. And he partnered with our hosting company, and they found a Trojan horse app that was causing the problem. And I just buy extra expensive protection just in case this ever happens again. So we now have a site, and I don't think the participants really even knew because of the way I was communicating and giving them content via email. They didn't even have to go on the site. And then 2 days before the official launch, on September 29th, my dog and I are crossing the street on a beautiful, clear, calm, quiet Saturday morning when we are hit by a car and taken to a human and dog emergency room. So we spend the 29th in the emergency rooms. We spend the 30th just trying to figure out the medicine so that we can sleep and so that we're not in acute pain. And then I finally get to a point where, I guess not finally, but it felt finally, where I'm in tremendous pain, but I can type and I can talk. And because my mom flew out the next day to take care of everything, including my house, my daughter, the dog, me, my home, it allowed me to talk and type and think. And I only had about 2 or 3 hours of good thinking time a day, but that was enough to communicate what I needed to do. So on the 30th, I am back to work, closing out my corporate group coaching group, and I send out the first assignment for the first call that was going to be on Friday, October 5th. Now, I canceled a lot of my regular clients because of my limited mental and physical capacity, and they were very understanding, of course. But what I didn't do was say, we're going to cancel the Work-Life Brilliance Academy and do it in 2019, because I had to get it done. And this is one of the things, if you're going to achieve a vision, if you're going to achieve a goal, you have to upgrade that vision and goal from a should do, from a nice to have, to a must do, from a I must create this. And that's what this was for me. I had to finish it before November 2nd. And so I was doing this even while I was visiting doctors, what seemed like every other day, whether it was a doctor or a chiropractor or filing a police report or speaking with an attorney, getting an MRI, getting massage therapy on my shoulder and my back. Meanwhile, my mom is taking care of my dog, thank goodness, getting his stitches out, getting his drain out. And so there was a lot going on during this time, is I guess what I'm saying. And yet, these amazing people that joined my academy, and I was honest with them about what was going on, and we had these group coaching calls that were some of the best moments I have had in my career. The people in this group brought such meaty topics and trusted me and trusted these strangers who were on the call with them in a way that I hoped would happen, but I couldn't know for sure. And I was able to truly, truly help people in a deep way. So we proved that this concept and this academy is transformational. And we did it despite the obstacles, despite the setbacks, despite the fact that I spent the entire month in pajamas. And I would throw on a nice sweater for the video calls. So how did I do it? Well, I managed my thoughts, I respected my capacity, and I accepted a lot of help. I said no to many things, like exercise. That wasn't even possible. I didn't visit any clients in person. I said yes to a reduced schedule, and I had no social life. It was all just getting this academy done, talking to clients on the phone, and healing and resting. So I did it. And next up is to celebrate a new year. I always feel different after my birthday, like I am just in a different realm of my life. And now I have the just divine satisfaction of having a goal achieved successfully and behind me. Because it wasn't a should do, it was a must do. And I will tell you, for a moment, I did consider when the malware was infected, when I broke my back, I did consider postponing until 2019. But because it was such a strong must do in my mind, I immediately went to, so how could we do it? I had so many chances to give up, and in the past I would have, because I had a different brain then. I didn't know to make things must-dos. They were sort of nice-to-haves, but they could go by the wayside if the obstacle was big enough. My brain was more concerned with comfort than creation. So I'm very grateful for this brain that doesn't go so quickly into victim mode and is able to switch thoughts that give me a sense of agency and purpose and control. So the key is to have a vision that is worth it, to make a plan, to set goals, and to expect obstacles, and then to do it, even when it's hard. And I am reminded every day I go to my refrigerator, or I look at my refrigerator, I have this big magnet with a quote from Winston Churchill, who had a vision of a free Britain. And hopefully, after a free Britain, a free world. And it was simply, never, never, never give up. And can you imagine what the world would be like today if he had given up? So maybe your vision is not so grand as a free Britain, but it's still worthy of everything you can give it. Thank you for listening. I look forward to being with you on the next podcast. And if you want to know more about the Work-Life Brilliance Academy, you can visit my website at www.brillianceinc.com, where you'll find information about all my programs. And I would love to have you in the group. All right. Thanks, and have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to Work-Life Brilliance. If you like what you heard, the best compliment you can give us is to share this podcast with a friend. And be sure to give us some stars and a favorable review at iTunes.